I'm Barbara Kahn, the Executive Director of MSI, and I'm here to talk to you about marketing metrics. What's the best way to get the most bang out of your buck when it comes to marketing? We have the author of a new book that looks at the quantitative formulas, applications, and analytic techniques that are necessary to develop the most effective metrics to measure your marketing investments. Dave Riebstein, who's my colleague at Wharton, is the co-author of the book, Marketing Metrics, The Manager's Guide to Measuring Marketing Performance. And this is the fourth edition of this book, which is kind of a question in and of itself. But at any rate, Dave is the professor of marketing at the Wharton School. We thank you very much for joining us. And let's start right in with that question, Dave. Why are there four editions of this book?
Part of it is because there constantly are new terms that are being invented. Every day there's a new term, there's a new way of looking at things. You know, when we first wrote this, there was very little sort of social media that was going on. Neuroscience hadn't been developed to any degree, and at least not imported into marketing. And so we've got new terms that are coming up. And so what we find is we keep adding to it. And so we started off, the first version was 50 plus metrics. We're now over 130 metrics that we have in there.
But that begs the question right away. If I'm a marketing manager listening to this, I'm thinking, I don't want that many metrics. I just want the right metrics. So is there some kind of priority?
The answer is absolutely. And in fact, I've got another paper that I'm working on right now, funded by MSI, where what we're looking at is what are the subset of measures that managers tend to use. And do they use different measures when they're thinking about their pricing decision versus when they're thinking about their new product development or thinking about advertising? So while there are a bevy of metrics that are available, you certainly don't want all of them. And you certainly don't want them for every decision. So you need to come up with a subset of measures that you're going to end up using. And generally, it's going to be a relatively, you know, small number. When I say small, it's probably going to be 5 to 10 metrics that you end up using for most of the decisions that you make. And it sort of is interesting. You know, we have the term of the dashboard, and it is sort of a nice sort of metaphor as you think about the dashboard on your car. If you've ever seen the dashboard for a 747, it's like all these different dials and measures and everything. If I had that on my car, I would drive into a telephone pole. What you want is I want to know how much fuel I've got. I want to know what my speed is. I probably want to know what my RPMs are. You know, maybe the temperature, or, you know, that's it. I've got just a few things. When we're driving our business, there's a few things that you need to be regularly monitoring. And when you're making a decision, I only need a few of these that I should be looking at.
Actually, that's what I was going to ask you. Can you tell us which ones are the ones most widely used by CMOs?
So actually, what it is that we see is there's been some transition that's gone on. The metric most commonly used by CMOs, in addition, one was customer satisfaction. Now what it is that we're seeing is people are moving more and more towards a measure of retention. Well, why is that? I wanted to know satisfaction because I was really curious about retention, but we weren't measuring retention 10 years ago like we are today. And so that's probably one of the most common ones that we see up there today. Certainly people are looking at, you know, the old common ones of, I want to know what my market share is. I certainly want to know that. I certainly want to know some of the financial measures, like what my contribution is, or profitability. But there are a standard set, and my next answer to your question is, get the book, because I can't answer that question without saying, well, it depends what industry you're in. It depends on what types of decisions you're making.
Well, let me go back to that notion of satisfaction versus retention and stuff. And a couple little metrics that I've been hearing recently, and see, I don't know if they're in your book or what you think about them, but obviously, when they were talking about satisfaction moving to retention, a really big popular measure was the NPS score, the Net Promoter Score. And so I wonder your thoughts about that. And also, more recently, Well, I've heard a lot about customer effort or consumer effort as a measure, because people, I guess maybe Amazon has pushed that, you know, people want it as easy as possible. Do you have any reflections on any of those measures, NPS or customer consumer effort?
Yes. So what I will tell you is that a net promoter score, there are some people that say that's the single measure that's the most important to them. I did an interview with the then chief marketing officer of General Electric, and he said to me, the most important measure, maybe the single most important there, is net promoter score. I find a few people that say that. But the more recent survey that I've done has said net promoter score is not that widely used. And so it's a select few, but it's not pervasive everywhere. And that seems to be the case. The next part of the question that you asked, what was the next part of what you asked, Barbara?
I've heard a lot of companies now are starting to look at customer effort. And I think that must be motivated by Amazon making everything as easy as possible. And that right. The customer's expectations now are convenient and effort and give it to me yesterday. And I wonder if that's another trend in metrics.
So, and my answer is going to be, no, it is not. It is something that we are concerned about. And we want to make sure that it's easy for the customers to be able to buy from us. But it's not a measure that most businesses are looking at. I think it makes sense. I think it is a logical one that maybe they should be looking at. But it's not one that's commonplace today.
Let me talk. These are my own pet measures. And everybody else can go buy the book and see their own. But I got you here. So I'm going to ask you my special ones. One of the things we see, and I wonder if you have metrics on this, about brand and the move to brand being having a purpose, or, you know, a lot more of the stakeholder or sustainability kind of issues for brands. Do you have measures of that, or do you have thoughts about how you can prove that dollars spent on sustainability efforts, for example, pay off from a marketing point of view?
So I'm a huge believer in measuring aspects of brand. And throughout the book, we've got all these different, we have a whole section that talks about, you know, brand and things that one could measure about the brand. I personally am very enthused about looking at the brand's financial value. And I want to try and measure the financial value of a brand. But then we can start looking about, you know, broader meaning of brand, or brand essence that one could think about, and brand promise. There are measures about that. Those are fairly common that are there. And so different people are going to have different things that they're interested in. The hard part, by the way, is I spend money and I want to know, how does that affect my brand? And there's not many people that are making that connection. But I think it makes sense for us to regularly be monitoring the brand. And what I will tell you is there are some data that indicates that a brand's value is close to about 20% of the overall market cap for a firm. And if that's the case, we really need to be measuring that and trying to protect one of the most critical assets of the firm. And I know you believe that, because I know you've been teaching a course on branding.
Yeah, I definitely do believe that. And I think that you can measure brand. And I agree with you. I think that financial worth of the brand is one very important measure. I would imagine there's also a lot on social marketing and things like that. Have you, what kind of measures are you looking at to value word of mouth or the impact of social media and things like that?
So you mentioned word of mouth. One of the things that people are looking a lot at is shares. How many times are people sharing what it is that we have? And so when you think about, I'm buying and paying for some advertising, how wonderful is it when that advertising ends up being shared with others and I'm not paying for those additional exposures? So if I wanted to mention one that I think has become much more popular and one that everybody's looking at is certainly shares. And that's all social media.
Yeah. So whether or not the thing is shared, I don't know how you feel about likes. I know there's a lot of controversy on the importance of likes, but you could imagine shares would be a tangible measure, because it is taking it and someone else is viewing it. So you're getting more exposure for sure.
Well, likes would be another one. And likes make sense, because we want people to like whatever it is that we're, you know, we're exposing them to. But shares is even more important, because first of all, they're most likely going to share it if they like it. And it gives us additional exposures. And the shares have a tail because I share it with somebody and they share it with somebody else. And so those are all additional exposures that I'm not paying for.
Yeah. And one other thing I was thinking about is, you know, what it's, people have asked this, and some of the people at MSI were interested in this, whether or not reporting marketing performance to the board should be turned over to the finance director, or should that be something that the CMO is responsible for? So in other words, are these marketing metrics that you're talking about, particularly the financial ones, are they in the domain of marketing or are they in the domain of finance?
And the answer is yes.
Okay.
That is, they are the domain of marketing, but we need as marketers to connect it to the financial side. And if marketing's not doing a good job of communicating that and communicating the financial value of it, then we better let finance do it. But finance also needs help. And finance needs to know, okay, you tell me how many shares there are. You tell me what the retention rate is. What's that do for us? So marketing needs to connect this with the financials of the firm. And that's what it is that needs to get reported to the board. The board doesn't want to hear just these softer marketing measures that are out there without knowing how it is that it is connected to the financial statements of the firm.
And this isn't really something that's in the domain of the book, but one of the things that your book does do in your book, The Marketing Metrics, The Manager's Guide to Measuring Marketing Performance, when you put forth these metrics, which is all your book is trying to do, you also do hold up a light on accountability in some sense. And that's kind of what you're talking about there. And one of the things that's somewhat controversial is if you start getting these measures and you try to measure the effectiveness of advertising, you sometimes can't find evidence that advertising works, particularly top of the funnel advertising. It's very low correlation many times to ROI. So what do you think about that, just philosophically? I know that's not something in your book, but when you put out this metric, are you holding up marketing actions to measures that maybe you should just go on intuition and trust? Do you know what I'm saying here?
I absolutely know what you're saying. And what I will tell you is that often in marketing, we say, no, don't hold me responsible for sales because there's so many other things that that intervene. And so as a marketer, particularly if we think about the softer side, the advertising side, hold me responsible for awareness. But I will tell you my personal philosophy on it, which is I don't want to spend a dollar on marketing unless it ends up delivering something that translates down to sales. And so I want to know what that connection is. And I think that's the responsibility of marketing. And even though, as you say, and let's see if I can draw this, there's a funnel. And we need to get, you know, we need to get people aware of it. And that's at that top part. And we need to be able to generate some interest in it. And we need to go to consideration. Well, I want to know, okay, I spend money and it generates a certain amount of awareness. I want to know sort of what that trickle down is. What percent of those that are aware end up actually having some particular interest? And what percent of those end up having some consideration? And what percent of those end up generating a sale? And so I'm always interested in that. And then I want to know about that retention or the repeat purchase that ends up happening. So I want to know all about that. And I want to know how it is that it ends up going through that particular decline in there. And so I can look at awareness and say, here's what an awareness is, because I know that for every 100 people that I make aware, what percent of that ends up leading to a sale?
Right. I understand that. That's the traditional, in some sense, funnel, a hierarchy of effects. But the problem is when you sometimes go all the way down there, you're not going to find tangible evidence of ROI for advertising. And the question that, because the numbers are just not that high right now, what I've seen. And so part of the question is that advertising worthwhile? And, you know, I can see that you might be able to show awareness, but by the time you get all the way down, whether or not you can show the sale effect, that's kind of the question. And the more measures we have, the more data we have, the more we may show that advertising isn't as effective as we hoped.
Well, so, and by the way, that would be good to know. If advertising is not as effective as we thought it might be, I would really like to know that. But what I will say is, I think we can see that particular connection. The biggest difficulty is not that there's so many intervening variables that are in there. The biggest difficulty in my mind is the time lag. I spend right now and I create this awareness, and maybe that consideration happens when I'm making a purchase further down the line. And so if we're talking about products that, you know, I advertise it, I make you aware of it, and you end up buying it in you know, today or in the next week, you know, that makes sense. If I'm doing something that's creating some little awareness that increases the next time you're considering buying a car, which might be 2-3 years from now, trying to connect that advertising today with something that happens 2-3 years later, now that's tough.
And that's the attribution problem. And that's what some sophisticated marketing modelers are trying to get at. But I agree with you. That's pretty hard to measure, but I still believe that's there. So I am a believer in the importance of marketing, I mean, of advertising, even if it's hard to measure. But Dave, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And your book is, as I said, The Marketing Metrics, The Manager's Guide to Measuring Marketing Performance. And the latest edition is the fourth edition. Exactly. Dave Riefstein is the co-author of this book. He's a professor of marketing at the Wharton School. I'm Barbara Kahn. Thank you for joining us.